I am Plant Online. This is thecommentary.ca. Michael Kwan joins me now. The freelance writer and blogger can be read on his blog, Beyond the Rhetoric, which you can find on his website, michaelkwan.com. He contributes to Mobile Magazine and other publications online. He's a former contributor to The Commentary. Please welcome once again to the Plant Online program, Michael Kwan. Good morning, Mr. Kwan.
Hello, Joseph.
Did you watch you obviously watched the Super Bowl. Everyone seems to watch that. Did you watch The Office?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that?
I was hoping that Jessica Alba would have more of a role, but they focused a lot more on Jack Black for that little cameo thing that they did. But in terms of the actual episode and story itself, I thought it was good.
It compared to previous episodes, I thought it was much better.
Yes, I agree. Because then for the last half season or so, they started falling into like a Rachel and Ross territory with Pam and Jim. So it's good that they went back to, you know, random office antics.
Well, what do you think it is about The Office what is it about The Office that you like?
I'm not really sure. Like, I've never really worked in an office for all that long. I was like a cubicle junkie for like 6 months or something. But there's something about those kind of shows that appeal to me. I really liked Dilbert while it was still on TV. I liked Office Space. That was incredible.
And it's, pardon me while I just cough, it's sort of like a cultural thing with The Sopranos, that it has its own sort of vernacular, and
yeah.
it has its own culture. People that watch The Office, we have this sort of shorthand, don't we?
Yeah.
What are some of the other shows that you're watching? Like, do you like 30 Rock? Everyone seems to like it, but I think it's a good show, but I don't see what, like, I think The Office is much better.
I agree. Like, it seems like everyone is so excited about 30 Rock and is winning all those awards and stuff. And I really didn't like it when it first came out. It's growing on me a little bit, but I still don't think it's that great. Like, everyone's saying it's like the greatest comedy on TV, and I don't think it is. It's okay. I don't think it's good. And it's okay.
And in the Super Bowl, were there ads that caught your eye?
Unfortunately, because I'm in Canada, we only got the Canadian ads, so we didn't get to see a lot of the multi-million dollar ads that were aired in the States. But I did view a few of them online after the fact on YouTube and various other sites. And nothing too out of the ordinary. Coca-Cola had a pretty good one with CGI insects. They were stealing a bottle of Coke from some guy at a picnic. There was a trailer for Transformers 2. That was pretty cool.
And that's the big summer movie, is it? Transformers 2?
Yeah. It's going to be the sequel to the first Transformers movie that Michael Bay did, what, 2 years ago? 2 years ago?
You know, I was looking at the sort of log that I keep, and it's been nearly 3 years since you were last on. 3 years in April.
Uh-huh.
And I see that around that time was when you launched your website. Is that right?
It was around that time that I launched Beyond the Rhetoric and MichaelKwan.com, yeah.
Yeah, and now I've told you privately that it is a frequent read of mine, especially on email. And
I think a lot of people don't know about that. Like, for a lot of blogs, they offer the ability to get email updates, so you don't actually have to go to the site, you'll get a free update to your...
Yeah, do you read blogs on those RSS feeds, feeder things?
Yeah, that's what I use. I use a Google Reader.
Yeah.
So I subscribe to, I don't know, like 100 different feeds.
Now, see, I'm a bit of a technophobe, and it seems daunting to me to have to learn how to use that. So that's why I use the email, and that's why I like reading it on my email.
Well, my email inbox is cluttered enough as is, so it's nice to be able to separate the two.
Yeah, and now
because I subscribe to a lot of RSS feeds for work purposes, like when I'm writing for Mobile Magazine, I subscribe to a lot of other tech blogs too, so. Some of those sites have 20, 30, 40, 50 articles a day. So it wouldn't be very usable for me to use email for that.
So for people that are unfamiliar with the blog, you write regularly about what? Is it mainly technology? Well, I guess it like any blog, it's about what a reflection of your interests, isn't it?
Beyond the Rhetoric is mostly a personal blog. I read about technology from time to time, but most of that's more work-related, so I do that for my clients, like Mobile Magazine, FutureLooks.com. On my own site, I read a little bit more about personal development, dealing with stress, finding motivation, the business of freelance writing, and anything that kind of comes as interest at the moment. It is a personal blog, so I just write about whatever I feel like.
and as the proprietor of a website, you have the ability of finding out what people are interested in by what they're reading. Do you find that they have a certain interest, that they go to you for, say, X topic?
It's kind of hard to say because the regular readers of my blog seem interested when I write about things like personal development and freelance writing. But a lot more of my traffic are random topics that I happen to cover. Like if I went to Richmond Night Market or something, that tends to rank very well in Google and other search engines. So I get a fair bit of traffic that way. The freelance writing and personal development stuff doesn't quite get ranked as well in Google, probably because I'm a smaller site and there are a lot of bigger sites that write about similar kind of things.
Do you have an idea of who makes up your audience?
Sorry?
Do you have an idea of who makes up your audience?
Somewhat. Like, there's a tool called Google Analytics. And what it does is it tells you pretty much everything about the visitors that go to your blog. So the majority of my traffic is United States and Canada, but I do get a little bit from Europe and such for so forth. Some of them are interested in the making money online entrepreneurship stuff, and some of them are students. It's pretty eclectic, man.
Yeah. You traveled to Las Vegas earlier in the month for the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yes.
Now, some of us aren't familiar with that. That's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the largest consumer electronics show in North America. I'm not sure if it's the biggest in the world. There's another show in Germany called CeBIT, and I'm not sure which one's actually bigger. But the consumer electronics pretty much takes over Las Vegas for about a week, and you get all of the major companies there to have their booths showing off anything to do with consumer electronics. So anything from cell phones to TVs to home stereos, car audio, video game accessories, and that kind of thing. So you'll get bigger names like Sony and SanDisk and Microsoft and stuff setting up their booths there to show off their current lineup, what they have planned in the future, and that's also where they make a lot of announcements for new products.
And this wasn't the first time that you were there, right?
This was my second time.
Second time. Now, compared to a previous outing because of this economic crisis, was it smaller perhaps? Was it more low-key?
I found that I think that the companies did cut back on budgets quite a bit. From a media press point of view, they didn't have as much free stuff that they usually just give away to us, like flash drives and t-shirts and stuff, promotional material. They didn't have as much of that. Usually there are parties after the show wraps up during the day. There weren't as many of those. Some of the convention halls didn't have as many booths. So there was a definite cutback in terms of how much money was spent at the show. And there wasn't all that much in terms of new and exciting products on display either as compared to last year.
So the products that you see in Las Vegas in January, when do we as the consumer see them?
It varies considerably. Some of the stuff that they'll announce there becomes available immediately. Some of them are just concepts and may never actually happen. Some of them 6 months. So it really depends on the company and the product.
And when you go to a show like this, when you go to an expo like this, what do you look for in particular, just as a regular person?
Just whatever's new and exciting.
Yeah, like in computers, are they getting smaller? Are cell phones getting fancier? Is that sort of generally what goes on here?
Pretty much. Like a really big thing right now is netbooks. So things like the Asus EPC and things like that, like the smaller laptops. So you're starting to see more companies get into that market, seeing more companies try to do something a little bit different with it, putting in touch screens and that kind of thing, extended battery life and so on.
We were talking about cell phones. You and I briefly last week. You're reviewing cell phone smartphones. Are you now for Mobile Magazine? Are you?
Yeah, I have a couple of them in front of me right now, actually.
Yeah. What Now, I had to change my phone about 2 months ago because I was having problems with it, and plus it was just getting old. So I went to the phone, what do you call it, the cell phone provider, service provider, and I got a new phone there. For people that don't understand, well, what's the difference between a cell phone and a smartphone, say?
A smartphone is more akin to having a mobile computer in your pocket. So it's able to load more third-party software. In the past, smartphones have been focused more on the business market. So being able to have Microsoft Word on your cell phone, being able to manage email through BlackBerry, and that kind of thing. Whereas most consumer cell phones don't have that kind of functionality.
See, I went in to change my phone, and I was reading some of the pamphlets, and I looked online, and they kept mentioning this QWERTY keyboard, and I didn't know what the hell that meant. And I realized, I looked at my phone, and then I realized it's right there.
Yeah,
it's the
exactly.
first six letters of the keyboard, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you find that there's a now I have the BlackBerry Bold or whatever you call it? Yeah, I guess that's what it's called.
Yeah, the Bold. Yeah,
and. And I've never had one, and I must say it's quite addictive. But there is now the same company that makes these. They have one that's sort of a touch screen, correct?
Correct.
That's the
BlackBerry Storm, and that's their answer to what the Apple iPhone has done to the cell phone market. People like the idea of a touch screen now, but. In terms of a BlackBerry device, I still think that if they're trying to cater to the business market, people will still want to have the QWERTY keyboard because they fire off so many emails during the day and that kind of thing. The BlackBerry Storm is one of the phones that I'm reviewing right now, and in trying to type with it, I can't type nearly as fast on it as compared to a physical keyboard.
How does it compare to the iPhone, the Storm?
If it's from a average consumer's point of view, I think the iPhone is a better phone. Because then the BlackBerry Storm is trying to be all things to all people. It's trying to straddle the line between being the hip and cool iPhone and being the business-oriented BlackBerry. And as a result of trying to be both, it becomes neither. It's a valiant effort, and I think it was a good move for them to try something like this, but the product isn't quite there yet.
One of the reasons why I also got the new phone was because my laptop had died, and now I find it. Why I find it addictive is that I'm using it sort of in lieu of my laptop that I can use. You know, I can listen to music, I can download stuff or whatever. Now I was just thinking, when one uses their computer to download stuff, the personal computer, either laptop or whatever, desktop. You have the chance or the ability to get viruses. Is that the same when you use a smartphone?
In general, viruses can be written for mobile platforms, and there are, like, if you were to try to load some third party application on there, it could come loaded with something that's not so good for your cell phone. But in terms of downloading regular stuff from the internet. Or when you go to not so trustworthy websites, the viruses that are written and distributed through those sites are written to infect like Windows machines. So it's kind of the same thing as why a Windows virus will not infect an Apple computer. It's a different operating system.
What about viruses that come over email?
The same kind of thing. Those are the same kind of thing. Because it has to infect, the virus would be written to infect a certain program or a certain operating system, and if it's not that system, then it wouldn't be able to affect it anyway.
So should I be more careful, do you think, or should I just not think about it?
You should be just as careful as when you're on your computer. Like, obviously, if you're going, you should be going to any random websites that you don't think would be such a bright idea. You shouldn't be opening random attachments and that kind of thing. It's probably less likely that you get a virus, but you should be just as careful.
And now, have you been following the Oscars and the Oscar races that we're seeing?
A little bit, yeah.
Is there a movie in particular that you're rooting for that you saw that you liked?
I actually just finished watching The Wrestler and Slumdog over the weekend, and I thought The Wrestler was really good. Not so much in terms of plot development and that kind of thing, but as a character piece, it was very good to see the inside world of a aging wrestler and that kind of thing. And Mickey Rourke did a very good job with that. Slumdog, I think had a lot of great directing. The visuals, the way that they conducted the visual scenes, the running through the train station, that kind of very artistic. That was pretty good. I haven't seen some of the other movies yet, like Doubt or Benjamin Button, so I can't really speak on those.
Now, Slumdog Millionaire, do you think that that's a shoe-in for Best Picture?
It sure seems that way. It went in being the underdog, and now with everyone rooting for the underdog, it's become the favorite, and it has certainly picked up a lot of steam.
And when you watch the movie, do you see why it's a big deal? Like, why you see that? Why did you see why it's popular, or why it's good even?
I thought it was good. I'm not so sure whether it would be a best picture for me, but again, like I said, I haven't seen the other nominees, so I'm not really sure how that compares.
It's been fun catching up again, Mike, and let's not make it another 3 years, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks again, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
The website is called michaelkwan.com, and well, that's the address. It's called that as well. Michael Kwan on the line. I'm Joseph Planner.